Hey, good morning, everyone. It's Dave Weiner here. A quick one. It's Friday, January 12th. So in all of the, all of the uproar about Michael Wolff's book about Trump, it's taken me a while to realize something about it. It's, you know, I've been writing about Occam's, the Occam razor's view of news, you know, which is very different from the view of news that you see on MSNBC or CNN or read in the New York Times or the Washington Post. They have a completely different standard. Their standard basically is they have to have a couple of sources before they're willing to report something. And maybe the more important and explosive it is, the more sources they have to have. And I'm not saying that is a valid approach. Obviously, we like news that way. But there are times when the Occam's razor approach is also important. Let's put it that way. And that's the problem that the mainstream press has with Wolff's approach. Because what Wolff is doing is reporting what I call the Occam's news approach, which is, look, let's just talk about what's obvious, what we know is true. Where if you take the most, you know, what Occam's razor says is the most probable reason is probably the reason something's happening. You know, if on the surface it looks like a guy is cheating on his wife, well, he's probably cheating on his wife. It's the most likely thing is if you see smoke, there's fire. It's not an absolute. You know, I'm a programmer. I deal with absolute truth. It's one of the few professions where there is absolute truth. You know, math is another one, but math isn't really a profession where programming is. I mean, we create machines that do stuff for people, but at their core, they are absolute 100% true false. There's nothing vague about it inside of the computer. So, I mean, I use Occam's razor approach in debugging my software, though. In other words, I'm amazed in the post-mortem of almost every hairy bug that I found that had I just, like, considered what is the obvious, most likely reason for this to be happening, that I would have found the bug a lot more quickly. It's because our minds trick us into going down all these, having to prove things in order to just have a theory. And Occam's razor is a good way to generate a theory. It's not a way to prove something. But, okay, so what Wolff did was something we desperately needed. Because nobody is surprised, nobody is surprised by the conclusions that he comes to about who this guy is, who Trump is. We all had our theories about it. And we all were pretty confident that we understood that this guy is actually the guy that Wolff paints. The quotes Wolff has paint that picture. You know, some people may quibble about being on the record or off the record. Some of them, even if he made some of them up or synthesized two different sources into one quote, it doesn't matter. The thing is, he's not presenting it as Washington Post reporting or New York Times reporting. He's presenting it as, hey, look, this is what's happening. I'm not going to say that I can prove any of this shit to you, but this is actually what's happening. Which is, we need that information. You know, there are actual life and death situations where you have to take that approach. Medicine, for example, you know, they don't know which treatment, if any, is actually going to work for you. I know this because I have medical conditions that are being treated, that have been treated for years. Now, my body responds very well to the treatment. But I'm also aware that that there are bodies that don't respond well to certain treatments, and then they try another one. It's very much. And they have to, if they wait to know for sure what actual disease you have, before they start treating, most people will die. And that's not, you know, they have to keep the eye on the prize. Their goal is to keep people from dying and to, you know, to limit human suffering and keep people from dying. And in that, if that's their goal, then they have to use Occam's razor approach. They have to. It's required. Now, as voters and as decision makers, as theoretically, you know, this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, as Abraham Lincoln said, that this is our government, and therefore we have to... Another, by the way, another example, not just medicine, there's war. War is like that too. You know, there's this fantastic series of interviews with Robert McNamara, who's Secretary of Defense during the Vietnam War, or the buildup, the Democratic version of the Vietnam War. And what it's called the fog of war. And he says, basically, you never have any idea what the fuck is going on. You just don't know. And that's how wars are fought. Now, the people who develop an intuition, people who can take incomplete data or deliberately misleading data, because that's also part of war. They send out decoys, you know. If you can see through all that and come up with the right answer, then you have a much better chance of winning the war. Now, I don't know if you see this as a war, but maybe you ought to wake the fuck up and realize this is a war. What happened during the election was Russia attacked the United States. And it's a very new kind of war. Well, you know, this isn't the first time we've had new kinds of war. You know, they're always inventing new kinds of war. You know, there's air power. You know, World War I was the first war fought with airplanes. Nobody knew how to fight with airplanes, so they learned and they developed strategies. And the country that owned the air had a big advantage over the ones that were just limited to ground. You know, all right. So now we have cyber. We have, and these are really so far very, very tame things that the Russians are doing. I mean, if you had asked me a year ago, if you told me a year ago or 2 years ago, let's say, that hacking was going to play a role in the next election, I wouldn't have been surprised. What I would have been surprised at was that they just used phishing, that they only did, and it was so effective, that this wasn't high-tech hacking. They probably have much deeper access into our computer systems, especially since we have Trump watching the security of the United States these days, and God knows who he's appointed to run various different organizations. How many of those guys do you think are compromised by Russia, you know? We're not really even looking. So it's fair to assume that they don't have to like come in through the back door anymore. They own the front door. So the hacking to come is going to make the hacking that has happened look like, you know, like Pearl Harbor. In other words, Pearl Harbor was the first step in a war, but that wasn't, you know, how the war ended. The war ended with atomic bombs dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. You see how things change sometimes. In a single war, you go from a whole new kind of technology. Well, the next time around, this is where people thinking is completely fucked up. They're going, oh, gee, did you know that they'll probably do the same thing in the 2018 election? Yeah, keep dreaming. It's going to be a lot worse. We had defenses before this, and the 2 years have passed, and they're software developers, and you know that they've got to be improving it, and they probably had better tools even. I mean, come on. They had to have better tools than phishing in 2016. I don't know. They own Kaspersky Labs. This is one of the think tanks of, you know, studying internet security. I mean, those people are the best people to do the hacking. So yeah, he did the Occam's razor approach, and yeah, we need to have much more of that. We need to have a whole thread. Half the thread has to be people getting up and talking about what's obvious, so the rest of us can actually do things to counteract it. If we sit here and wait for this to be Watergate, we will lose. Because I keep saying this over and over again, you wish it's Watergate, but it's not Watergate. It's not. And that's an assumption. When you watch, you know, Rachel Maddow, who I absolutely love watching her show. I sort of drifted off there for a bit, but, you know, we took a break and she comes back and she's brilliant. And I have to say, she's really cute. And yes, I know it's not in a sexual way that she's cute. It's just she's fucking cute, okay? And she's bright and she tells good jokes and she's cheerful. She could, like, deliver the most incredibly bad news. You know, you don't feel so bad about it. I mean, you feel bad about it, but at least you feel like, you know, somebody else sees it, you know? But she's not considering the possibility that what we've seen so far is nothing compared to what we are going to see. Maybe she is. I don't know. But we're not talking about it. And we're not talking about things we can do to protect ourselves. We're not limited, by the way. I just want to point this out. We don't have to be limited in the protection we have to what Trump is willing to provide us with. We have enormous resources, the people of the United States of America. And we don't have to only be organized by the government of the United States. Simple fact. The Koch brothers figured that one out, as did the Mercers and Shelley Adelson. Well, their thing is they have money. Our thing is we have people. That's what they have the money for, was to try to get the people to do what they want to do. So anyway, just a vote for Occam's razor and try to put in perspective. You know, actually, there was another example of Occam's razor journalism. This came up the 1 year anniversary of BuzzFeed News releasing the dossier. And I saw Ben Smith on, he's the editor-in-chief at BuzzFeed News. I saw him twice in the last few days on the news. And I remember listening to an interview with him on the New Yorker podcast in around the time, about a year ago. And, you know, to me, there was never a question as to whether or not they should release it. I was pissed that people had it and they weren't releasing it. You know, it's like, you know, we are entitled to know what the fuck is going on. If you have something, if you have a document that is influencing the politics in Washington, well, that by definition is something we have a need to know. And so Ben Smith made the right choice. And it was an Occam's razor thing. You know, it was like, well, we don't have to think about this too much. This is obviously an important document. It's not just the information that it contains, but it has actually become a political football itself. It's being argued over. It's being fought over. It is influencing the way people are thinking. As a news organization, if you have that in your hands and you don't publish it, you violated a very basic trust. The question is, who is your loyalty to? Well, you could say, well, you might end up screwing up the life of a bunch of people who are talked about in the dossier. It's possible. But you're screwing up all of our lives if you don't release it. And you're screwing yourself, because it's once we find out that you had it and you didn't release it, we know where you stand now. There's a line there. You're not with us. You're with some other group of people who pretend that they run everything. You know, I guess one more thing is that the stuff that Trump says about the elite and the stuff that the alt-right say about the elite, that's the part of what they say that I agree with, okay? I mean, I don't agree with their conclusions. I don't agree with what we should do with that information. But for crying out loud, I mean, I know the elite, okay? I know them very well. And those are some real gatekeeper type motherfuckers. They really insist that no ideas get inside their firewall that they can't manage and completely control. And what they don't get is that now's not the time to be doing that. Now's the time for all of us to be using all the smarts we have and stop worrying so much about holding on to the specific advantage you have in your life, because that's really what the gatekeeping is about, is that these people have climbed the ladder and they don't want to be knocked off the ladder. They like the view from the top of the ladder. It's a nice view. They get to fly around the world. They get to hang out with other people who are high up on the ladder. They get to go to Davos. They get to go to, you know, whatever. They get to go to all the cool conferences and just sound like they know what they're doing. This is where everybody misses the point, is they think that they do know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. They're trying to make it look good, but they're not actually doing the things that they say that they do. And they're, I guess, afraid to share that, so that the only ideas that get out are the ones that protect their position. And that's really the fucking stupidest thing. That is our downfall. Can you imagine, I mean, say for the sake of argument, that we live in Nazi Germany right now, and it's incubating, and it's getting going, right? I'm not saying that that's what this is, but let's pretend for the moment that is what it is. And you've got people at the big universities, at the big newspapers, the big think tanks, whatever, the big tech companies, all the influential places, and they're all protecting their little thing, to make, just like they would do in normal times, when a Nazi isn't, when the Hitler isn't in incubation. They just keep doing the same shit they do, right? And they protect their little things that they got going because they like it. In hindsight, well, they're building the concentration camps, they're doing this. You know, it's like you look at it in hindsight and you say, what a bunch of fucking idiots. Didn't they see what was happening? Didn't they realize that if they would ease up a little bit on the communication of ideas that might threaten their own place on the ladder a little bit, maybe not even that much, that we might be able to organize ourselves better against what's about to happen to us? That's the tragedy of us not working together now. It's crazy. And as one of the people who just keeps knocking on the door saying, here's something we ought to be doing, here's something we ought to be doing, and then only to be like proven right 6 months, a year later, once it's too late to do anything about it, once it's completely obvious that this was something we needed to do, it's fucked up. It's fucked up. We have to be a lot better at letting ideas in. We have to be systematic about letting ideas in. And right now, what happens is the people that own the communication channels keep it very, very, very conservative, very narrow. They don't let Occam's razor in very much. They stick to, you know, what you can prove. They stick to the assumption that this is Watergate. I mean, Rachel Maddow, for all the goodness of Rachel Maddow, a lot of the assumption that this is Watergate is baked into what she does. The day this is not Watergate is going to be another day like Election Day 2016. We all remember what that felt like, right? The day it dawns on us that we're past the point where it could possibly be a Watergate is the day we're going to realize we're fucking sunk and we could have done something about it and we didn't. Let's not get there again. That's my point. Let's not do that again. All right. That's enough. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.